Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. I am Leona Abraham Brando, host for Blog Talk Radio, Shedding Light. Feel free to call in, listen in, call in to ask questions or give feedback. We're going to have on with us again, and many of you probably are aware of Brother Hess. He's been an ongoing caller. He's been involved in interviews in the past, and he is on with us today, and he's going to be discussing valuing optimistic attitudes, or as simplifies, the power of attitudes can be in the lives of mankind. So we are going to be welcoming our friend, Brother Hess, to talk about some of these things. I want to let everyone know it's very difficult in this day and age to be able to keep a positive attitude. There's so much corruption going on in the world, especially in this country. We have corruption in the courts, and I'm going to give you a brief example of one where a judge is very familiar with the commissioner or a warden of a prison. And there has been an individual who has been trying to fight for his civil rights by himself because he's been unable to get an attorney because of connections. This judge has denied the individual the opportunity to send in summons to the defendant certified because he is indigent, but yet the judge, knowing and being familiar with the warden, and will not even give the name of the judge on the court documents, has denied this individual the opportunity to summons the defendants with uncertified mail because he does not have the money to buy or to pay for certified mail. And the courts are asking or telling him he has to not only send the summons and pay for it himself, but also submit the receipts to the courts. Now, this is kind of what you call corruption in the courts. This is what we deal with. And there's so many other things that are going on in this country that people are not even aware of. So that's why I say never stereotype anyone incarcerated. Never judge anyone you do not know. And look at these people in high positions that carry titles or wear uniforms, because there is so much criminal action and activities going on amongst them that people fail to notice. We're living in a country where there's more criminal activities going on with those who are supposed to be the overseers or the leaders of this country, whereas they're the ones that are doing all of the things and getting away, and we can see that clearly in the way our country's run, the political parties, the division between parties, the corruption that goes on even within their own. Either they're protecting themselves from going to prison, they're protecting their loved ones from going to prison, but it's the average citizens. It's the people that are growing up during hard times that are struggling in life. We have an epidemic in this country with mental illnesses and addictions, and yet we have a government that oversees people they don't even know because they're too busy trying to keep themselves out of prison. So I want everyone to know that these are the things that go on in this country. And Brother Hess is going to be talking about ways to be able to value optimistic attitudes when there's so much negativity in this country, in the penal system, in the communities, in the courts. Let's be honest. We have judges that need to be removed from the courts. We have lawyers that stick together and deny individuals their right to legal help. And I know for a fact, because I have been ripped off almost $50,000 by lawyers who claim to be willing to help. And nowadays, they justify all the monies that they take from people by emailing one another. These lawyers have a new method of collecting money. And the American Bar Association is just as bad because they allow these things to happen. They do not side with the individuals on the outside. They side with their people on the inside. We have law enforcement that talk about their brotherhood. But I come from a religious background, and the only brotherhood I know of is brotherhood between the sisters and brothers in this country who are doing or trying to do the godly thing. So let's welcome our guest, Brother Hest, who is going to be talking about these issues. And Brother Hest, are you on with us?
Hey, good afternoon, Sister Queen. How you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you, my brother?
I'm blessed, man. I just want to thank God, man, for a second, man, and thank my higher power, Holy Spirit, that comes inside of us all, you know what I mean, and we allow it to. And I just ask the higher power to come in, whether we are Christian, Muslim, whether we are faith believers, you know, in the face of Hinduism, Buddhism, you know, whether we are believers in the law of attraction and the universal laws of nature, whether we find ourselves believing in the Yoruba culture and the ancestors' guidance, you know, of the Ifa lessons and practices, you know, I just want to ask that, you know, our higher power and those who came before us to bring us to this day, you know, give us blessings in this moment and in this hour. Thank you for having us, Sister Queen.
Thank you. And you're right about the religions, and it's not about religions. Whatever faith a person believes in is still the righteous in the eyes of our Creator. And unfortunately, what we see going on in the Middle East right now between Israel and Gaza, those are the two that should be countries or peoples that should be a role model, that should be teaching everyone, because they themselves were brothers at one time. But this goes to show you how life is. We have wars going on in the Middle East, and our country's falling apart while our own president is out there dishing out all these millions and billions of dollars, when this country in America is falling apart because of religious or racial or genders or whatever the case may be, divisions. But I thank you again for coming on, and I'd like to have you take over now. I'm going to put myself on mute, and I also have to put some other on mute because we're hearing, okay, here we go. It's your show, brother.
No, ma'am. It's our higher power show. I love personally to call Christ Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And definitely, Sister Queen, we are honored to be able to have you to host this show. I just want to welcome everybody in. I want to thank everybody for coming on. You know, this is an opportunity for us to prepare ourselves for a whole new year, a whole new opportunity. And it starts with today. And so what I want to welcome everybody into is a power hour of changing and altering our attitude in order to be able to envision what it is that we want to see. A lot of people have the same background like we did in our previous show of coming up like I did, the poorest in a poverty-stricken community. You know, the ones being picked on, the ones being ridiculed, you know, talked about, joked on. You know, a lot of us came up in the same way that I did. You know, some of us have dealt with, you know, poverty, abandonment by our mother, never ever even knowing our father, molestation, you know, all sorts of issues of abuse in life. A lot of us have known addiction before we even hit 15 years old. Some of us, like myself, have known going into mental health hospitals at the age of 11, 12, then going into juvenile at 13 and 14, running with the street gangs, or as we call them, street organizations, by the age of 12, and becoming a professional criminal crook or thug, as they call it, before the age of 16. You know, I gave my testimony in the last radio broadcast here at Scaring Light Radio with Sister Brando. And given my testimony, I told on how I came up in poverty-stricken America, being adopted into a family by a lady named Madea and Big Mama, her daughter, and how no blood relation, these people took it upon themselves to see that my mama had many problems in life. And so she raised me and she nurtured me at the age of 85 years old as though I was her own child, using her small amount of money, gas, the water bill, the electric bill, and whatever little bit is left over, to strive to get enough rice, grits, and things of that nature to be able to feed me, my sister, and the other grandchildren and great-grandchildren that look to her, you know, as a beacon of hope, support. And so, you know, it's coming up, being given hand-me-downs that we were so grateful for. I remember getting the boxes from Boston from a aunt that I never knew, really. She was sending these boxes of these hand-me-downs from the thrift store, and we were so proud to get, you know what I mean, our little toys out of that hand-me-down box. We were so proud to get these, you know, corduroy jeans or corduroy pants that smelled like mothballs, you know, when everybody else was wearing Jordache jeans and Bugle Boy jeans. It's like we were so happy to receive the small dollar coins or $2 bills on Christmas when other children were getting Nintendos and Sega Genesis and Ataris. It was an upbringing where people looked at us and they was able to talk about us and put us down in order to lift themselves up, because they was fortunate even in poverty-stricken America. And we learned to have an attitude that began to, what I say, condition us for despair, for dis-ease. And so we want to use this opportunity to do today is to come in on these airways and speak from our hearts, not from our head. Because many people can complain. Many people can come up with excuses. Many people can rationalize things to be able to say, well, I'm a victim in life. But those who truly conquer today and have a vision for tomorrow are those who make a choice and follow that decision up with action to change their attitude. And so we begin to find that what we think is what we actually bring into existence. No matter what belief system we are, no matter what nationality we are, no matter what race or culture we come from, no matter if we come from the dirt poorism of the gutter, the barrios, the trailer parks, or if we're in high society, America, or whatever country we find ourselves coming up in, what we end up is what our minds cultivate. And so what I want to ask us to begin to do is to look 2024 as an opportunity to shift, to have a shift in mind state. And one of the things that helped me to do it was, of course, as everybody knew, I got locked up when I was 16 and I was tried as an adult for a crime I didn't commit, but I kept my mouth closed and I did the time. I ended up serving over 8 years plus in the Georgia penitentiary, and I got out with the same mind and the same attitude that I went in with at 16. So if nothing changes, nothing changes. I found myself back in the hood, back on Simpson Road in West Atlanta, slums, selling dope, looking for an opportunity to be able to set up a robbing crew or set up a drug ring or set up whatever it was I could coming out of chain gang that would be able to afford me an opportunity to have the things in life that I saw on television, that I saw in social media. And what happened was I ended up a year later committing murder, shooting a brother in the back of the head for setting my family up to be robbed, tortured, beaten, and brutalized. Now, when I got back into the jailhouse a year later, everybody looking like, whoa, White, why what you doing back, shouted? Come on, man, you were one of the few that actually made it out. Ain't no way you back. It's like, yeah, there is a way, because if nothing changed in my mind, nothing will change in my reality. First, the listening audience, to go get within yourselves, no matter if you can associate with what I'm saying to your own experiences or you have it from a different experience, each one of us have a story to tell. Our life is a book, and when we open that book, just like I open up this Bible every morning when I wake up, I'm looking to search it to cultivate within me something to focus my mind on. Because if I focus in on what was going on yesterday, if I keep worrying about what may or may not happen tomorrow, I won't be able to open up the gift which is in the present. And that's today. And so I just want to ask us to really just groom ourselves going into 2024 with the attitude of gratitude. But the only way that we can do that going into 2024 is if we take time today and take a list of paper out and list out everything that our higher power, the God of our understanding, has done for us in 2023. You know, I hear a lot of people saying, man, Brother Hess, listen, man, hey, man, but this going to be a real special year coming up. I say, well, tell me what was special about the year that we are right now in. Well, man, you know, man, and they will go on and explain to me all the woes, all the bad things, all the negatives. And it's like, where is your positive mental attitude? Where is your attitude of gratitude? How can we expect that God of our understanding to give us something tomorrow if we have not even thanked him for what he has done for us yesterday and today? And so I challenge my brothers around me. I challenge my sisters who come around me from time to time to really look at what's really going on. We say that our higher power, who we may choose to call Allah or Jesus Christ or whatever it is that one may see as that higher essence of creation, we look at that as a father figure, a mother figure, a goddess or a god. And I ask people to associate that with your real mother or father, whether it's a surrogate mother, or adopted mother, or a grandmother figure. What makes grandmama do more for you than she normally would? What makes your mama go harder for you than she normally would? And I would choose to say that 95% of the time, it's through her seeing that what she's doing is becoming effective in your life. What do you mean by that, Brother Hiss? I noticed that my mama would give me a little bit more, even though she had nothing but a little chump change in her purse. She would give me more than a nickel if she knew how grateful I was and appreciative I was the last time she gave me 2 pennies. Why is that? I don't really know. I haven't done the psychology of it, but I understand that when we acknowledge one's appreciation, when we acknowledge one's benefits, when we acknowledge one's sacrifices that benefit us, it cultivates within them an awareness of our needs. And they associate this with what it is that they're planning to do in the next opportunity. And so as we open up these airwaves, I ask that the people come in and tell us what it is that you have to be grateful for in this year, and what are you doing to shift your attitude to a positive mind state and beginning to speak things into existence and acknowledging the people that have done the best for you. I'm going to say this real quick, and then we're going to open up the lines. You know, my mentor, Mr. Melvin Gay in Fulton County Jail, when I got arrested on this case, he took me into a program called Pretreatment Stabilization Unit in Rice Street, Fulton County Jail. And inside of that atmosphere, I went into a regular dorm with regular inmates. Most of y'all probably done seen it on 60 Days In or something like that, where they was inside of Fulton County Jail in Atlanta, Georgia, and they show people disrupting their environments and doing criminal acts or bullying somebody, fighting or trying to gank somebody out of their stove good, their commissary, or their zoom-zooms and wham-whams or whatnot. And we're all excited about seeing this chaos and confusion. But they never showed in there that unit that they got, where when you come in there, them brothers are ironing their clothes. Yeah, they're ironing their county blues. They're cutting each other's hair with a set of clippers. They got a cell that's distinctly set aside as a library that has books in it on recovery from drug addiction, psychology books, sociology books, religious books, and it's a method of understanding how to turn a prison or jail experience into a university experience. They don't show that right there very often. And the reason why I believe that is because people love chaos and confusion. People love drama. And the powers that be and the people who are on top love to keep people confused on the bottom and chasing their own tail in a circle. Because as long as they're doing that, they won't get outside the box. Because outside the box is where the riches are at. And what is loosed on earth shall be loosed in heaven, is what my good books say. So how do I bring heaven right here on earth? And that's what happened in that unit. I went into that unit and they told brother, are you willing to go to any length to get your recovery? To rehabilitate yourself? And I'm like, man, I just shot a brother in the back of the head because of what he did to my family, man. And I blinked out. And man, I done woke up in this county on suicide watching. My life is at the end. What is you talking about? Go any length? Man, I'm ready to go to any length to die. I've been in prison all my life since 16. Now I'm back in there, and I'm facing a death penalty. Man, I'm faith, but something inside of me deeply said, no, Brother Hess, you need some help. I said, well, what does it mean to go to any length? And they said, brother, you got to change the people, the places, the things, and the thoughts that you have. Because your words dictate your thoughts. Your thoughts dictate how you feel and your emotions. And that's what dictates how you act. So if you don't like your acts, if you don't like your destination right now, then go back to your feelings. What are you feeling every day? And in this environment right here, we're going to force you to feel better about yourself, force you to feel better about what you have to contribute to the brother next to you, your cellmate, in the cell next door to you, and then everybody around in this dormitory. See, they challenged me to get outside of myself and realize that life ain't about me. And instead, it's about what I'm able to permeate, what type of vibrations I'm able to stay in the frequencies of, in order to be able to produce betterment for those in and around me. And I say in me because I'm a representation of those who came before me, my ancestors. I'm a representation of Mud Dill, who passed away in 1995, but she's still living my heart because I'm talking about her right now going into 2024. It's on the telephone. And so as we open up these lines, I want to ask you, you know, where was it in your life that that shift changed you, that altered you from a negative attitude and state where you could have kept using these excuses, could have kept using these pull me a drink. I deserve to get drunk today. Into what we now know as a positive attitude that's focused on setting goals that are attainable. And to nurture ourselves by being around mentors, life coaches, inspirational people, whether we got to find them on YouTube, whether we got to get a pep talk, whether we got to go to Mud Deal's house, a new Mud Deal. I got me a whole new Mud Deal today. I keep me a couple of Mud Deals, like card players keep a couple of aces up their sleeves, because it keeps me accountable to the attitude and the aptitude in which I must choose. Nobody can choose it for me. They can motivate me in it. They can inspire me in it. They can cultivate me if I'm willing. Well, what is the will? The will is the mind. So if I become willing, I become to think in that manner. And so with that being said, I thank everybody for tuning in today, for coming in, man, whether you're able to get on here and speak or not. If you are able to speak, man, please press 1 right now so that our wonderful host will know who wants to actually have their mics opened up. And just come in and tell your name, where you're calling from, a little bit about yourself, and what is it that you are doing to cultivate a better attitude that creates within you an opportunity to envision a 2024 that's unlike any other year you have ever experienced in this lifetime. Sister Queen Brando, are you ready to open up the mics now?
Yes, I'd like to say one thing. As always, when you're on the show, we have the board is lit up. I mean, we have so many people that are calling in. But the thing is, I want to unmute everyone, but all of you, please, if you have any noise in the background, please try to either mute yourselves or try to keep the noise in the background down, because it's very distracting. I'm going to open up all the lines. So again, please do not have anything in the background.
I would suggest you not open up all of them. I would suggest maybe just one or two at a time, and then close those and then open up two more, because all these people that are from Pop's Movement, they're used to calling in. But a lot of them are around their children. A lot of them are in places of work and stuff like that. And so,
okay, so the hands up.
Really help out a whole lot.
Let's start with 773. State your name, please.
Would that be 773-905?
Hey, Sister Queen.
Hey, how everybody doing?
We blessed and highly favored. How you doing?
I'm doing good. This is Veronica calling from Chicago. I am so glad I'm first, right? So you said some magical words, Brother Hess. I love you so much, brother. You are such an inspiration to my life. But you asked the question about 2024. 2024 for me is I'm so optimistic. I'm so happy. I'm full of joy. You're going to see me like you've never seen me before. I am embarking on a brand new journey that I'm really excited about. Nothing but positive attitude, positive vibes.
Sorry about that. I muted the wrong one. We're bringing it back. Okay, go ahead.
So am I okay to go for it?
Yes, you are. I'm sorry, sister.
Okay, great. So like you know, past everybody, I've been eating double hockey sticks, right? And I would not let that stop me from being who I am or doing what I came to do. So my life is just full of joy right now. I'm happy. I'm very optimistic. Like I say all the time, the time is up for the powers that were. So anything we need to do, we need to go ahead and do it and be our best person. And I'm just happy. I'm going to go to somebody else. Go ahead and get somebody else.
I enjoy what she just said. You know something, in this day and age, we are going through those critical times, hard to deal with. You know, as mentioned in 2 Timothy chapter 3, we are going through some hard times, difficult times. And I wanted to apologize also for last week when Brother Hess was on. I had scheduled the show for 1 hour, and we all got cut off at the hour. But I scheduled it for a longer period of time, so all of you will get an opportunity to speak up today. So we're going to go with the next one, which is, let's see, let me just unmute, 602. I want to say your name, please. 602.
Love and service. Yes, ma'am. This is your brother that you got as a guest, Brother Hess.
Okay, 757. 757.
Yes, this is Dominic.
Dominic.
Hey, peace and
blessings. Yeah, peace and blessings to you, bro.
Come on and help, man. And tell us where you're calling from, a little bit about yourself, and brother, what you're hearing here today that's definitely resonating and vibrating on the same frequencies that you already have going into the new year.
Well, this is my first time on the show, and I'm glad to be a part of it. You know what I'm saying? To know that we got inspiration brothers and sisters on here. From Mississippi, but now I stay in Atlanta, Georgia. In the surrounding area of Atlanta, Georgia. My enjoyment is knowing that I'm going into 2024, a firm that's willing to push and help anybody that, you know what I'm saying, lacking in the area of education, on knowledge of how you can conduct yourself in America now. You know what I'm saying, as far as dealing with your court cases, from that to me learning about how to be financial free and willing to teach others.
Already. And what you say your name was again, brother?
Dominic Hyde.
Man, brother Dominic, man, I want to ask you a quick question before you peel on us now. And that is this right here. You from Mississippi, man, so you know what's going on as far as like the upbringing and the history of Mississippi. You know what I'm saying? And you move to a new place. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of people, they go to a new place and they experience new things. But what are some of the things that you're experiencing right now in and around the Atlanta metro area that you're actually, you know, pulling to you as a motivational force, as a source of inspiration that makes you want to get up every day, that makes you want to go out and ride out, to seek new avenues, to seek new opportunities or new people, places, and things that can further what it is that you already have in your heart to become?
Well, one of them is the experience of facing 38 years with possession with a tent, first-time offense, you know what I'm saying? And my outcome is I'm not a felony, nor have I assigned myself over to anything. And to see that is more that going on here just as well as it is in Mississippi, I'm inspired to make sure that they know that it's a possibility and it's a way to make sure that they don't have to experience the same thing, especially if there's non-violent charges, you know what I'm saying, dealing with their situation. Because the prisons really are made for the officials, and they need to know that. And I think they lack a knowledge on knowing that who really belongs in these jails.
Come on, brother. Hey, man, I thank you so much, man, for sharing light, man, on this show. And we definitely welcome you back, man, every Saturday. And you can check out the link that was sent out, you know what I'm saying, so you can see the other shows that Sister Brando has going throughout the week, okay?
All right, I appreciate you.
All right, love, family.
Love.
Okay.
All right, Mr.
Come on. 646, you want to state your name, please? I want to thank the brother that was just speaking as well. You know what? Anytime any of you want to come on the show to talk about any injustice, please feel free to contact Brother Hess or myself. I'm going to take 470 off mute. Okay, 470, you want to state your name, please?
Charles Brown.
Welcome.
Love and service, yeah. Family. How you doing?
I'll take one day at a time, big bro.
It's on the cell, man. Come on in and tell everybody where you're calling from, a little bit about yourself and what you do, you know what I'm saying, with the campaign, you know what I'm saying, we the people. And then tell us, man, what is it that's altering your attitude for the betterment going into 2024? You know, what helped to change your attitude, brother?
Well, Brother Hess, it's a couple things, and you are one of them. And the people is the second, and the struggle is the third. And my name, like again, say that my name is Charles Brown, and I am from Cordele, Georgia. And the name of my campaign is We the People Demand Equal
Amen.
Justice here in Georgia. So what my campaign and I does is we stand against the wrongful conviction, the illegal probation, illegal unconstitutional parole or supervision, and we also stand in a gap with Brother Hess with his conviction and overturning that sentence. So we do a lot here in Georgia, especially in Atlanta. And what we really pushing towards to is trying to get the citizens, you're not private, to get further education on your status. Because as of right now, mood change and swinging, that definitely going on. Mental health is so serious. And in order to change that mind frame and being incarcerated for so long, like myself and a couple other brothers that's on this line, without the community, without having that support, I wouldn't have made it this far.
Come on,
I'm having stability mentally. So every day is hard for me being out here on parole. It's hard for me losing my mom, my father, my whole family. They dead. I came home. But I want to say to everyone on the phone, man, do not give up. Mental health is serious. And We the People campaign, we'll continue to move forward here in Georgia and across this nation, standing firm in all division and making sure that these communities be groomed the right way. And Brother Hess, I want to say thank you again. And my contact information is you can email me via email charlesaverybrown@gmail.com. You also can find me on Facebook on Charles A. Brown, which you will see We the People Demand Equal Justice. You'll see Sister George Floyd. You'll see Sister Breonna Taylor, and that will be that page on Facebook. So with that said again, family, we are definitely standing in our division, and we are definitely reaching out to as many people you can. Same, Brother Hess, I want to say is this. We have issued the warrants for put judges out of Hampton, Georgia, attorney's office out of Hampton, Georgia. The warrants is on the DA table on federal level, and this is what we've been protesting and standing firm in our division on. And if you guys would like to participate in this press conference here in Georgia, please email me for the location and time. And this is one of these historic moments that we have to pull together, come as one, and stand firm and demand the arrest of the corrupted cops and judges that most of us in a mental ill statement. And so with that said, family, I want to say again, man, thank you, guys, for taking the time out, come out. And Brother Hess, it's always love, fam.
and love and service. Family, thank you for coming on, man, and sharing light right here with Sister Brando and myself. You know, I want to just tell the listening audience, man, I salute Brother Charles Brown, man, because this is a brother who came from behind the walls. Man, this brother was in penitentiary about 10 years ago, and he called in live to the Pops Movement radio show, and he said, man, I'm calling in from the chain gang of Georgia and Valdosta State Prison, and I need some help, man. I need some help, and I don't know who's going to help me, but I called the radio show because they say y'all help people. And, man, the brother had an attitude of expectation. You know, we say that hope is H-O-P-E, acronym, having openly passionate expectation. And this brother out of Cordelia, Georgia, said on that radio show that this show is going to help me get set free, and then I'm going to come back when I get out, I'm going to come back and set other people free. And that's what this brother been doing, man.
Right.
I just salute that, man. But Sister Queen, go ahead if you want to open up the lines for other people, man. But I had to salute that brother Charles Brown, man. Y'all check him out on Facebook, and of course you're going to see a Georgia, the state of Georgia's emblem, and then you're going to see the faces inside of it, and it's We the People, man, campaign. Love and service.
I'd love to see him connect also with Brother Andy Williams Jr., who is running for a candidate for the presidency, but he's going under We the People Party. So I think Brother Brown might and Brother Williams might be good to work together in some way.
Yes, ma'am.
The next one is 8. Let me just take them off mute. Okay, 870, please state your name. 870. Okay, let's go with 513. Please state your name. 513. We have some static. I'm sorry about this, but last week we had a lot of problems with the show, and apparently the static is now a problem. But hopefully it'll go away.
No, it's not no problem. We're going to work right on through.
Okay, the Most High is with us on that, right?
Man.
Okay, 678, you want up? Let me take you off mute. 678, you want to state your name, please? Six, seven, eight. 901, you want to state your name, please?
Yeah, this is Ricardo.
Ricardo, hey, welcome.
Blessings,
Brother Hiss. And to you too, sister. You know, this is my first time on the show and everything. And I was listening to when Brother had said, speak about what you thankful and grateful for the new year. You know, it was a time and place where I was being housed there, because like you, Brother Hiss, I've been through a little sting with the law too. But I was being housed in a place with other brothers, and you know, we was like, we wasn't sure that we were going to get a chance to see the light at the end of the tunnel because the way things were looking so gloomy and so negative, we just couldn't see the positivity in what was to come in the future. But then, you know, when you go to prison or somewhere or you persecuted for something that you didn't do, but you sacrifice yourself for who you think are your friends, and they show you that they're really not. It takes your family, and it takes the man above God to show you the truth and to let you know that you can be a friend to somebody else and they not be a friend to you.
That's right.
And that you have to also look out for yourself. You can't always be trying to look out for everybody else because everybody else is not going to be there to look out for you. And many don't want to help them.
Tell the truth, bro.
You know, I hear what he's saying. It's you know, it's sad. It's first of all, we know in this country, we have a majority of people of color behind those prison walls. And not only is it that they're dealing with the fact that they're being oppressed even behind those prison walls, but a lot of their families and friends end up becoming a thing of the past as well. And then we have to deal with what's going on in the world today. So keeping a positive attitude is something that we're used to because, or we try to be used to, because we've been going through oppression for so many years, thousands of years, to tell you the truth. But these, what he's talking about, and what the other brothers are talking about as well, is, and the sister, is that it's it's difficult to get through all of this. But with that positive attitude that you speak of too, Brother Hess, this is what we have to keep. We have to maintain that positive attitude under all this affliction. But
absolutely.
One of the things is
absolutely.
God's people have gone through, God's true people have gone through affliction for years and years, and we know what that's about. And it's these people in government positions, in high places, and with all the wealth, those people that never experienced the trials and tribulations, those people who have never experienced racism, those people who have never experienced the mental health issues or the addictions, or if they have experienced them, they somehow got away with it because of their power. These are issues that the brothers and sisters are bringing up that make a lot of sense. And I hope the audience is listening. I don't care what color, race, gender, religion you are. If you have a heart at all, if you have any godliness in you, you're going to hear what these sisters and brothers are saying, and you're going to start changing your attitudes, or maybe helping them, helping others to change their attitudes. We're going to call in 762. You want to state your name, please?
Yo, Wally, Uji, known by so many, and OG Lee Strong.
Assalamu alaikum.
Yeah, assalamu alaikum. Alhamdulillah, man. I'm grateful. Yeah, I'm grateful, man.
Hey, we squad, man. Come on in here and tell everybody, man, where you calling from, man, a little bit about yourself, man, and what is it that the Most High God has created within you as a shift, as a mind-altering experience that allows you now to be able to envision your 2024 being better than any other year before?
Well, alhamdulillah. I'm down here in Columbus, Georgia now. You know, my days and ways, it's like stop the fire. That's something that got me and just lit that fire up under me. I'm back on that tight time. You know, BCO is still alive and kicking. Unity and motion, man, that's what I'm going with. Yeah, no. You know, stuff that I went through, man, to be honest, man, you know, everybody ain't under that, man. I don't wish it on nobody. But, you know, it's strengthening, man. I got to sit down for a minute. You know, the last 3 years, 3 months, or whatnot. It was about my mental, my physical, my spiritual. That'll sit to me and going the way that I need to know, you know, the this and that been there. You know, that been concern, you know, about the being, you know, came with that. That determination, that this. Determination, dedication, you know, this and that's just going on. Now, man, I'm trying, I really want to tell these young cats and some of the older cats, cause they need that remember to come to them all to life and living in. That cause of righteous, man, is not forgotten, but it's not acted upon. I'm like really trying to save the life, man. Let people understand, man. It's more than just that one person. All of it, man. When we move, operate what we can share, we should do so, man. You never know who might need to hear what you got to say out your mouth about your experience, man. Like I said, at the planet, or inshallah, they better recognize it when they see it and be able to maneuver through it on a greater level of consciousness. Be serious about things, man. I want all y'all to know, man, I love all y'all. I'm here for y'all. You know what I'm saying? A lot of these cats, the conversation is, you know, these young cats ain't going to listen, man. You can't tell them, man. If you were like the individual who you think you are or who you say you are, they say the same thing about you. I want you to ask yourself right now, how many of them people try to say anything to you? Never try to say one word, man. Just they put that stamp on their mind for no reason at all, you know. Say nah, man. Tell them what they need to hear, man. Not what they want to hear. It goes like that.
Hey, man. You know, I'm gonna tell you the truth, bro. I love what you're saying because, you know, a lot of people said that when we was coming up in Atlanta back in 92, 93, 94. At GD's in downtown Atlanta, that we was a bunch of hoodlums, a bunch of throwaways, that we wasn't worth nothing, that we wasn't going to be nothing. We were just a bunch of niggas with an attitude and hate field. and all was looking for hope. We was all looking for guidance, looking for a father figure, looking for better men. We didn't come into the organization, you know what I mean, to disrupt the society. We came into the organization to strive to find the means and the tools and the cultivation of like-minded individuals that been through the suffering and the pains of poverty-stricken America to find a better way out. And it's like everybody was looking for an excuse to throw us away and give up on us. You know what I'm saying? Because they said the same thing that you just said, but a lot of people are looking at young folks in the streets and the chain gang today. Man, they ain't going to listen to nobody. Well, with that attitude, and I got to say that, with that attitude, they won't listen to you.
Andy, Donald,
they won't
Donald,
see what you got
Donald.
To say. They won't listen to the testimony that you got to share. Because, see, it's just like, I don't want to say this again, Dr. Cornel West had a book out about 15 years ago. It's called Hope on a Tightrope. And I suggest y'all go get it. It's just a small book, very small, have a lot of different sayings in it. But in the middle of that book, if you split it open right there in the middle, Dr. Cornel West said, you can't leave our black people in poverty-stricken America unless you love them first. You cannot save our poverty-stricken communities unless you're willing to serve them. And so it's through love and service that we begin to empathize and change and shift the attitude of how we see these young niggas with an attitude. Because, see, they got a reason for why they got their attitude. And it's only a person that can empathize with them, that can speak life into them, that can change their attitude, and to then recreate a means of seeing a way out. Because they in darkness. And nobody's wanting to really help. Everybody's looking for an excuse or a reason to run the other way, just like a lot of our parents did. And I'm not putting nothing on our parents, because our parents had to follow their own path. They had to go through their own hurt, habits, and hang-ups. They had to deal with their own issues on the internal order. And now, today, a lot of those same parents, like my mama is a success story. My mama now taking care of her 95-year-old mother. She got off drugs. She put money on my books when I wanted to go to store. She now is working at Goodwill, even at 70 years old, doing what she needed to do, you know what I'm saying, in order to make a way. You know what I mean? So that she's not the person that she used to be before. But again, even in her, an attitude shift had to come. Sister Queen, you ready to go back to the mic? Okay, well, until we do, you know, I want to just encourage everybody to remember, man, there's a lot of people that came before us that's already been talking about these positive mental attitudes. I want to give a salute to Napoleon Hill. I want to give a salute to Dr. Joe Dispenza, who is out right now. They got a book out called Becoming Supernatural. I want to thank a lot of our Ifa and our Yoruba culture ancestors that come from the West Banks of Africa, who most of them came into Mobile, Alabama, and began to... A lot of people call it the roots and the this and the that. They talk about the negativity of it, but they don't talk about how it cultivated within a lot of people on the West Banks of Africa the spirit of wanting to be able to live up to taking our culture to a whole new level. See, people want to speak down about Islam if they're Christians. People want to speak down about Buddhists if they are Islamic or if they are another faith or culture. Everybody want to set a way out to put somebody else down. And without, you know what I'm saying, actually investigating what is actually working for them in their culture and their belief system. And so, you know, man, for me personally as a Christian, you know, I'm the type of Christian that I don't put nobody down. I don't know when God gonna call somebody to Christ. And I'm not gonna be the one to ever try to judge somebody to say why they don't deserve this or don't deserve that or they going to the hellfire because they don't believe what I believe. Man, I'm not doing all that. That's on God and that's on those that do the big preaching behind the pulpit. For me in my house, we just going to serve the Lord, and only when necessary will we use words. What do you mean, Hicks? We're going to let our attitude cultivate an experience that allows other people to use our examples. Peace and blessings, love and service. Sister Brando, you ready to go to the next callers? Okay, if anybody would like to come in, please press 1. At this time, and we'll open up the mic so that you can come in and share from your heart, not from your head. And we just want to remind everybody, today we're talking about attitude. What are we doing to have a gratitude list cultivated for what our higher power did for us in 2023 so that we can be able to set the stage for him to do more, for her to do more.
Peace and bliss. Peace and bliss. Can y'all hear me?
Some of you are being put on mute. I don't know how it's happening and taken off mute. So anyone that's on right now, just please state your name and start talking right away. It doesn't
okay.
It doesn't matter who it is. Yes.
Okay, this is Marquez. This is Brother Marquez. I just called in. I really want to speak on the attitude. That's the topic, right? About what just made me figure that I had to change the way I came up. And I think the turning point, really, I think it'd be trials and tribulations. That,
where we going?
Can y'all hear me?
Yeah, we hear some noise in the background. I don't know if it's coming from your line, your end, or someone else's. I took everyone off mute because they keep being somehow it keeps putting them on mute. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, I don't have any noise where I'm at.
Okay.
I'm home alone and everything quiet. But like I was saying, I really think the tribulation and the trials that you go through is actually what brings about that change. You know, a situation can make or break a person. You know
exactly
what I'm saying? And just coming up the way I come up, and I know Brother Hess, no, Big Bro, no. You know, where we come from is one of them eat or get ate type of environments. And once you start actually, you know, I was actually talking to Brother Wally. He was on the line a little minute ago when I first tuned in. And I was telling him earlier that, you know, when he went to prison, and it was a time to just sit down and reflect. And it was the same thing with me. You know, I got locked up, and that'd be like God's way of sitting you down to get your attention. You know, and just going through the hardship, you know, the death of your close people. It's just so many trials and tribulations that I know personally I went through. You know, I had brain surgery recently. You know what I'm saying? When you landing on your deathbed, they were saying it was a 90% chance I won't even make it. But all of my trials and tribulations I learned is like went on that I embrace all of it. You know, I embrace those tribulations because I understand that this is something I got to go through. You know, this is my walk. This is my journey. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of people, they don't really see it in that manner. You know, they'll cuss God or they'll cuss somebody else. And really they're not realizing that, you know, that ain't the way to deal with it. You got to embrace it. You know what I'm saying? So you can get through and get the lesson that's in that. You know, you got to learn from that journey. It's a blessing in the journey. And I think that's my biggest thing. You know what I'm saying? Especially becoming a middle-aged guy. Now, well, I'm talking to the young people, and I'm telling them all the time, you know, you try to give them some food. Everybody don't want to hear it, you know, because they're not ready to hear it. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And I think when you do go through those hardships, that's what kind of break you down when you be like, well, okay, now I'm humble. You got to be humble so you can get your lesson situation.
Brother Quiz.
Yes.
Man, love and service, family, man. Thank you for coming in, man, and chiming in, brother. You know, I just want to ask you, man, because you was a part of when Pop's movement first started, the street marches out there in the street. Now, you was there at the first street march. You helped organize it. You helped put money into it. You helped most of all bring your children out to hold signs and go into the worst communities in the city of Atlanta, Georgia. You know what
right.
I'm saying? And, brother, I just want to know, like, what helped to cultivate that shift of attitude that took us into 2013. That was over 10 years ago we did that. You know, December
right.
7th of 2013. You know, brother, I just want to know what was going on in 2011, 2012 that cultivated a shift in your attitude that made available to you that type of spirit to go out and do what y'all did, man.
To be honest with you, bro, I've always been the type that if I can help somebody, I'm going to help them, right? But my biggest influence was you to tell the truth. I'm like, shit, bro, dying bad in prison. You behind the wall. And if your attitude can be what your attitude was behind the wall, it's no way I could be out here free and don't help take up arms with that same mission. And that was my thing, because like I said, it ain't like it ain't in my heart to want to help. It ain't like it ain't in my heart to want to see us as a people better. You know what I'm saying? Especially coming being a product of the streets. You know what I'm saying? A real product of the streets. And your attitude is what helped made me be like, well, you know what? If bro can do that shit, I know I can do it. He dying bad behind the wall, and he going this hard about it. I'm going to go hard about it, too.
You know, hold on, bro. So you saying that this attitude shift actually is infectious?
That's right. That's exactly what I'm saying. It had to be. Everybody who know. If you know, you know. I used to tell you all the time, like, bro, man, I'm telling you, boy, you got a big influence on people. And it's motivational. And like I said, it's no way you can be behind the wall for what you're in there for. And your whole attitude changed like the way it did. And I mean, it was genuine. Not like, well, I'm trying to get a motherfucking appeal or whoop, whoop. No, it was really a genuine thing. Like, you could see it. Your light was shining. And it was like, well, dang, man. If bro can do it, I know I can do it. And they made me, all the little young guys, they look up to me like, look, homie. This what we own. I ain't ask them. I'm telling them. This what we own. We own that. We gonna bring these street tribes together. We gonna do this. You really put that mission on the street, and it birthed a lot of movements. Shout out to Big A. Rest in peace. Street groomers. They was birthed from Pops. You know what I'm saying? A lot of these movements were birthed from Pops, and I know for a fact that it was a big influence on me. To make me be like, you know what, we can really make something happen. We can really make a change. You know what I'm saying? That's why I had my children out there. Why I had my young boys out there. Drico know my feel. Like I said, anybody that I know I had an influence on, and it was a lot of guys I grew up and I influenced them negatively. I felt like, well, look, this is what we on from now on.
Hey, man, I'm going to be honest with y'all, man. I know what bro's saying, and I can't receive that type of accolade because I don't deserve that right there. All glory be to God, you know what I'm saying, because God was the light behind everything that was done. But, man, I just want y'all to listen to what this brother Quiz with the dreads is telling us today, man. He telling us that, man, he brought out his children. He brought out his family. He brought out all the young brothers that could have been out there in the streets selling dope, pushing guns, robbing. Man, the man had the influence to be able to build robbing crews that's beyond what people can conceive of. He could have built a crew of scammers that's beyond what people can think. You know, he could have built his own gang. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Beyond what most people could conceive of, but he chose to actually, you know what I'm saying, penetrate what is seemingly impossible. He went into the people that they say will not listen, and he brought a voice that they listened to. And so, brother, I pass that ball to God as getting the glory, and I pass it back to you, bro, because without you believing, without you shifting your attitude and finding something to hold on to and actually utilize that to spread the light that you spread it, bro, Power Movement would not have been the influence that went on to see BCF and, you know, Street Wars and, you know what I'm saying, the movement they did in New York, the movement they did in L.A., the movement they did in Chicago, you know what I'm saying, with Black Men United to be. Like, all these things was a rippling effect of what they seen going on right there in Atlanta, Georgia, with y'all brothers getting out there, sisters getting out there, the children on the front line holding the banner. Man, I remember seeing your children holding those big old side of sign was bigger than them.
yeah, that's right. That's right. Alhamdulillah. All praise to the Most High. And I'm a preacher, like you said. I feel like you feel. I ain't looking for no credit from it. You know what I'm saying? I felt like it was a beautiful thing, and to see what it turned into. Even when I flew out to Chicago, like, people that linked up with me, like, oh, Sister Daphne and them, they, you know, they popped up just because I was out there. and that was birthed also from Pops, you know what I'm saying? And to see that kind of unity and that kind of structure, you know, that's how I met Fred Hampton. I met some powerful people, you know, some innovative people through Pops Movement. And I feel like if everybody was really living like that and had that unity and that structure, then we could start to push the culture forward, you know what I'm saying, to where we could see some progression, you know what I'm saying? Because, like, now the world look like it's in chaos. We got these kids out here, they so wild, they lawless right now. I mean, they going for broke about anything. And it's just like, man, I be thinking to myself, like, man, first thing, we need a Pops Part 2 to come back. Just to grab these little guys and let them know, like, look, bro, it ain't even got to be like this. You know what I mean?
Straight up.
And a lot of that stuff is misguidance, you know, where they have no guidance at all. You know, and that's what Pops represented to me. The Pops, like a pop, like a father figure. It was that for me. And in return, I tried to be that for the younger generation up under me.
I'd like to respond to that because I'm going to say you were right. The kids today, they have no role models, and very, very few are out there like yourself. But the thing is, I'm going to just quote one scripture in the Bible, and that's in the book of Ephesians, when it says, we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. We're wrestling against powers and principalities and rulers of darkness in high places in this world. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So what we have right now, God allows you, because he's using you, he's using Brother Hess and others in a big way. Now, with Tukey Williams, and I hate to say it, Tukey Williams would have been a perfect role model, but that Governor Schwarzenegger, that's the evil. That's the evil working within a governor to prevent it. And they were so determined to destroy Tukey Williams that that was a role model that would have prevented a lot of these young people today to be going to prison. So it's really that we're wrestling against a lot of individuals who have that automatic evil spirit in them. But also, when they said, when Jesus came into this world, he healed the possessed. So there's two kinds of spirits. There's spirits within the good people, the evil spirits that enter into the good people to cause them to do damage, and then they leave those people. And those people are defenseless because we're living in a society that's controlled mainly by evil spirits. If you understand what I'm trying to say. So people like yourself that are the role models out there for the kids, others need to follow suit with what you're doing. They need to follow suit.
May I tap in? I just want to let the listening audience know this is not a religious show. You know what I'm saying? This is a spiritual show. But if y'all do want to understand what the Sister Queen is speaking on right now, just go to the Bible, go to Ephesians chapter 6, and read verses 10 through 20, where it talk about the full armor of God, putting on the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, you know what I'm saying, the belt of truth, you know what I'm saying? And that's how you begin to understand how to cultivate oneself to go out each day and know that we're not fighting against people. We're not fighting against, you know what I'm saying? We're fighting against God, and he's trying to capitate all of us. So, man, I just salute that, Sister Queen. I just wanted to say that. Peace and bless.
I'm not a religious person. I'll tell you right now, because I believe in Allah as well. People, when they talk about Allah, they talk about the Muslim God. What they don't realize is Allah in Arabic means God. I went to a church one time, a Baptist church, I believe it was, a Pentecostal, because I've been in a lot of them. I've been in a mosque and I've been in a synagogue. But one of the things, a pastor was talking about the Muslim God, they're Allah. At the end of the service, I went up to him and I said, do you know who Allah is? Do you know? He said, yeah, that's the Muslim God. I said, no, that is the same God we all worship, but it's called Allah because it's in Arabic. People don't understand.
Right.
And I get into all these religions because I do want to understand. And I'll tell you right now, we are living in a world that's full of evil. Even in Revelation chapter 12, verses 7 to 12, it talks about Satan being thrown out of heaven onto the earth. It says, woe to the earth, because Satan knows he's up for a short time. Satan and his followers. We're living in a society right now where we're wrestling against the evil spirits that are working within a lot of these bodies in this world. And the government is the one that's going to pay the consequences, because it says high places in this world, Those are the wealthy and those are the government. So we may grow up in poor sections. We may grow up in poverty. We may end up having a lot of addictions, trying to cover up the pain and sorrow and suffering that we're all going through, or our loved ones. But I'll tell you, each and every one of you on this show right now, and each and every people listening in the audience, know of somebody that's incarcerated, whether it's their brother, their sister, their aunts, their grandparents, their uncles, their mothers, their fathers, their children, whatever the case may be. They know somebody that's behind those prison walls, if anybody's of color, especially. So we have to keep a positive attitude, because we know we have a higher power working for us and with us and within us.
Yep. And you know what, to add on to what you're saying, sis, you know, I'm a Freemason. I'm a 33rd degree Freemason. Part of that profession, I teach religion, dogma, you know, and I speak on the 12 main religions. But one thing that I learned about religion, it was weaponized. It was weaponized to keep God's children separated. Because we'll argue about this, we'll argue about that, you know. And I tell, like, some of my Jehovah Witness friends, like, you know, you coming out the same Bible as a Christian. You know, they got the Holy Scriptures, and the Christian used the Holy Bible. They both go from Genesis to Revelations. Only difference about it is where it say Lord or God, it'll say the name Jehovah or Jesus, whichever one they talking about. And not just that, when we talk about Ifa or the Yoruba and the ancestor worship with the Orishas, those are all characteristics of God, you know. And I won't go too far into it because I don't want to speak over nobody's head. But what I am trying to say, and the point I'm trying to drive home is, you know, when we're speaking about God, you know, even in the Quran, they say all living things are connected by a cord, right? So God itself, just that entity, you know, and us reaching a higher self, because everything operates in a frequency, in a vibration. And that's another thing, because I can even talk about the Islamic language, you know, it's a grunt language, you know, meaning the vibrations or the throat. But anyway, we be beefing about a different religion or that, and we should not be doing that. You know, everybody don't speak the same language. You know, it'd be a misunderstanding, and you know, like the Bible say that, you know, we perish for our lack of knowledge. People don't have a knowledge of someone else's religion. They automatically tend to go against it. You know what I mean?
Without
and,
knowing.
We shouldn't be doing that because, you know, God is within us. A piece of him lives within us. You know what I mean? And once you start functioning from your higher self, then you'll start to understand that and see it. And like I say, I teach religion, so I have to deal with Muslims. I deal with Christians. I deal with so many different people.
Exactly.
And man, I appreciate y'all having me on. I do have to hang up, y'all. My wife calling in.
Hey man, give up our love and give them children our love. And man, always continue to spread that light, Brother Quinn. Man, we love you, brother.
Most definitely, love.
Before you go, I'd like to say one thing. You mentioned something that I wanted to bring up as far as Jehovah's Witnesses go. One of the things is, with Jehovah's Witnesses, one thing I believe in, and I believe there is going to be another paradise. And the reason I say this is because it's said very, in the very beginning. But when people really think about the Our Father on earth as it is in heaven, throughout the Bible, it talks about it. It talks about a new earth or whatever. So I don't believe that everybody's going to go to heaven. I believe that we are going to be going to a new paradise when this ends, for those who are chosen, and I hope I am. But the thing is, I just wanted you to know that, like it, there's so much that people do not know. The Bibles have been revised throughout the years. The Bibles are not the same. I'm sure that the Jewish people back then, and just like the Vatican, they're in control of all these things. So we know these changes are going to be made. The word Jehovah has been taken out of the Bible. It's still in, like, Psalms 83:18 and Isaiah. But the thing is, Jehovah is the Most High. Just like the Jewish people say Yahweh, we say Jehovah. But that's, I just
right.
need to clarify that, too. Because
but
these
there's,
are things
there's a part of see. The language barrier, because there's not even a J in the original Hebrew language anyway. There's no J. And so they say, well, Jesus' name would be Yahshua. That's not his name either. If you understand Hebrew and you speak Hebrew, it was Yehoshua, right? So, but that's just another barrier and something to keep us arguing and bickering about all the wrong things, right?
Mm-hmm.
As far as Paradise Earth, I wish I had the time to go into it with you. I would love to discuss this again. I would love for y'all to have me on and we could discuss it. I got to hang up. My wife was out of the box. She had my son thing, but I need to call her back. And we will talk again. I appreciate y'all having me on again. Y'all stay focused. Keep doing God's work. And
Happy
I appreciate
New Year.
It. Once again, Hesh, you know I love you to death, man. I love you to life, brother.
I love you
Happy
back, family. So much love.
Now,
yes,
I was going to say, Brother Hess, these people on the line that haven't spoken yet, and I'm going to just unmute everybody and let them come on because I don't know who's who anymore. So please, callers, someone just jump in if you want. We're going to have time in between. So please state your name and what you'd like to say or ask.
Yeah, please.
Peace and blessings,
hello.
Love and service, man. Hey, man, y'all, man, we got a mother. Hey, man, excuse my French, Lord. Hey, man, we got a real originator right here. Come on in, tell everybody your name and where you calling from, big brother, sir.
Peace, brother. I've been on for the whole show. This is Brother Mike X calling out of the Bronx, New York City. Thank you for inviting me. I've been to the show.
Hey, brother, we glad to have you, brother, man. For those that don't know, man, this is my brother, man, who came up with me, man, you know what I'm saying, before Pop's movement, man, we were chiming in to Enough is Enough, Save Our Children with Brother Tony Nix out of New York, man. And before then, man, we was freelancing, man, and then me and this brother used to spar, you know what I mean, for years on how to be a Fellows Friday. You know, brothers uniting for a change, how to be a terrific minded Thursday, how to support the sisters on Women's Wednesday, you know, Team Talk Tuesday. Come on in here, Brother Mike X, man. Tell them, man, this is the ignorance killer right here. Man, come on to tell everybody, man, what is it that you see that got to shift in our attitude, and how can you give a personal experience on where that shift took place in your life, brother?
Wow, that's so deep, brother. I've been on for the entire show, and there's so many pathways to truth, man. You know, it's whether you a Muslim, whether you a 5%er, whether you a Christian, whether you a Buddhist, whether you just someone who believes in the law of attraction. I think I heard you talking about earlier. You got to take positive possession over your own life, you know what I mean? And there's so many forces of darkness and evil in this world, you know, and a lot of us get distracted, you know, by what's going on. But we have, brother, I got to get back to you. All right, I'm sorry, family. So, you know, the main thing is for us to realize that we were not created to suffer. We were not created to be pawns in someone else's game, whether it's the so-called enemy or whether it's people who look like us and talk like us. Because a lot of these, you know, religions, you know, have been controlled by people who want to dominate you. You know what I mean? So you can think that you are, you know, a member of a church or a member of a mosque or a member of an organization. And if you're not careful, you can still be used and controlled, you know what I mean, by anti-thinking. You know,
exactly.
Meaning if I'm a Christian, that I got to be anti-Muslim. Or if I'm a Muslim, I got to be anti-Christian. Or, you know, if I'm a this, I got to be against that. No, number one, you have to be someone who focuses on self-mastery, self-love, you know what I mean, courage and discipline, you know, the desire to give what you want to receive, you know what I mean? You can't get love if you're not willing to give love. You can't give hope if you're not, you can't receive hope, pardon me, if you're not willing to strive to be hopeful, you know what I mean? So a lot of us, we have to begin to really focus on striving to master ourselves. And, you know, You know, so that's what I focus on today. You know, energy flows where your attention goes. What do you want to see increased in this world? I want love to be increased. I want compassion. I want empathy. I want healing. You know what I mean? They say hurt people, you know what I mean? And we know that that's true, but if that's true, can heal people, you know what I mean? If I focus on my own healing and my own regeneration and redemption, can I spread that? Brother Hester said something about infectious a couple of minutes ago. You know, can I spread, you know, the hope that I strive to encourage and master and hold on to in my own life? Can I give that to other people? Can I represent that? You know, in this dark world, can I be a beacon of hope and light? You know what I mean? So I'm sorry to be running off at the mouth, brother, but I just got so amped up by listening to you guys over the last hour, man, that I just, you know, came out, you know, and wanted to share and add on to what you guys were talking about.
I'm glad.
Rambling on, brother. You definitely hitting points. Come on in, Sister Queen. I just want to remind everybody, man, that what the brother is saying about this being infectious, man, that's what we have to begin to envision. Like, you know, they say that we got to come as little children. You know, we got to go back to our old imaginations. And using the imagination, we begin to formulate a whole new reality. And people got to go into their meditative states and to begin to use the imagination to see the impossible actually become impossible. And that's how we begin to see the steps that qualify us into what is, you know what I'm saying, what other people may say is unimaginable. No, it's imaginable. Mm-hmm. I can be rich. I can be profound in life. But I have to give the glory to that entity in which is creating this new reality. And so, man, I just want to encourage us to listen to what Brother Mike X said. Because, man, this is a brother that's up in New York. Man, this brother done worked in juvenile hall. This brother done worked around elderly people. This brother goes throughout the streets, man, and talks to the people that nobody else want to talk to. I call him a living Jesus. You know what I mean? Because just like you just heard him, he apologizes to somebody right there on the block that want to pull up on him, probably draw some of that up out of him. You know what I mean? Hey, I'm sorry. Hey, just one second, man. Let me put this on this. Let me lace this radio show right quick, and then I'm going to get right back on you. I mean, but I just say that because, family, like, this is what is cultivating a 2024 that other people say is unbelievable. You have to believe, but you got to attach yourself to what is believable, and it's inside of you. Ain't nobody, you can't go to nobody else and expect them to give you $1 million. You can't go to nobody else and think that when you get $1 million, they're going to be able to cultivate you into an experience to where they can invest your money. No, you got to learn investment. You got to understand where you want your money to go, how you want it to begin to educate the people so now they can become organized and lead to being able to structure themselves on the social issues that need to be changed in our poverty-stricken communities, in our prisons, anywhere in life. Family, if you want better, do better. You got to qualify for better, and it starts in the mind, man. Peace and blessings. I yield the mic, sister.
Okay, that was awesome. What he just said, really. You know, we live in a society that people are so insecure. This is the problem. Because if they weren't so insecure, they would be on the show right now with everybody else that's been on this show. This, when you come on, Brother Hess, the people that come on with you, this is exactly what I try to get people to do on all shows. To fight for justice and to change the attitudes of others. But unfortunately, it doesn't happen. When you come on, it shows who's interested. It shows who's wanting to make the change. But I wrote something one time that I said if every blessed country in the world shared their blessings of wealth and people of countries less fortunate to people of countries less fortunate, there'd be no starvation, no racism, no hatred, no wars, no unnecessary sicknesses or death. Then and only then will God pour out even more blessings, and he will be with us in all. And this isn't not only for other countries. This is right in our own country. If everybody in this country were to share the blessings that they have with everybody, even those, especially those behind prison, the prison walls, because those are the ones that need it. All of these people on television making all kinds of millions of dollars preaching to the gospel, to the choir, you know, maybe if they went into the prisons and shared that there wouldn't be these problems. But that's what it's all about. We have celebrities out there. We have athletes out there with all of these millions of dollars they're making and buying millions of dollars worth of homes when they could be sharing some of their wealth with the less fortunate in this country. And we know that that would be a blessing to them if they were to do that. But we have people in society that are so insecure that they have to have all this wealth, all this money to show themselves being more powerful than even their own brothers and sisters down under them. And that's where we're suffering. We have a society that's focused on themselves or their insecurity. They have to keep up with the Joneses. We have advocates that they're working amongst. The advocates, like one of the brothers said earlier, who you can't even trust because these advocates are not doing the job that they should be doing. It's all about money with them, or it's all about trying to keep up with their peers. We have to come together in unity to make positive changes and have the positive attitudes that you speak of, Brother Hess. We have to come together in unity. And everybody on this line today, everyone on the show today, I praise them. I give them credit because it shows that they're interested in what you're talking about. They're interested in change, and they're interested in finding out how they can go about working with you, not against you.
Much respect to
everyone. Absolutely.
Can I get that? I just want to say before I will fall back and continue to listen, but I just wanted to emphasize, you know, in Islam, they say you should want for your neighbor what you want for yourself, you know, and the Gospels, they talk about love your, do unto your neighbor as you would have done unto yourself. If we would focus on, you know, being that light, being that beacon of hope, being that inspiration, that encourager, and we would focus on just, I'm going to control me. You know what I mean? I'm going to focus on controlling me and bringing the best of me, like Brother S was talking about, being creative, being imaginative. You know, I could see a vision of a better world. And I'm going to work towards making that vision manifest. And I'm going to look towards cooperating instead of looking at trying to dominate and control. You know what I mean? You could even be someone who focuses on flesh, or you can be someone who focuses on spirit and being inspired. You know what I mean? And I hope that each individual realizes that, you know, you are a beacon of hope. You are a beacon of light. You are a beacon of encouragement. You know what I mean? Every time that you come out, your light is shining. Some people's light shines more brightly and intensely than others, but that only gives you an example of what you can do. You know what I mean? If you focus on being that and doing that, you know what I mean? So having said that, there's so many thoughts swimming in my head, man, but I say, peace and blessings to you, Brother Hess. Peace and blessings to you, sister. You know, you talked about Pop's movement being 10 years ago. Oh, my God. You know, time flies. You know what I mean? And there's a lot of brothers and sisters that I became friends with, at least on social media, through the whole Pop's experience. You know, I would be another advocate for hoping that we can recapture that lightning in a bottle that we had going on, because we had a show, like you said, Spiritual Sundays, Magnificent Mondays, I think I remember, Terrific Tuesdays, Women United for a Change on Wednesdays, you know, Brothers Uniting for a Change on Fridays. I think there was a Thursday show. And I even think we tried to go off a Saturday show at one point. And it was a whole experience, man. You know what I mean? That I'm very encouraged and gratified that I can say I was a part of. You know what I mean? So, again, thank you for the invite, my brother, and keep on pushing. I'm just encouraged to see that you're still on the battlefield, man. It helps me to, you know, to remain as solid as I strive to be, man. This is a very lonely task sometimes, man, because the more you learn, you know what I mean, the greater the distance becomes between you and the masses that you want to strive to help sometimes, man. Sometimes you want to talk to them about concepts and principles that you know that they're not even ready for, man. So you just got to keep on striving at that self-mastery, you know what I mean? and leading by example. So having said that, I'm going to fall back, man, and say peace and love to everybody.
Amen. Praise
peace
you.
And love, man. And we love you, brother. And thank you so much for sharing, man, and shedding light, man, right here with Sister Brando. You know, man, I just want to remind everybody, man, we're talking about attitudes going into 2024. And like what Brother Mike X just shared, man, live from New York, man, it's our responsibility. It's our duty to cultivate within ourselves a attitude shift that will allow us to begin to start actually drawing in what it is that we want in life. If we know we're insecure, then we draw in security. If we know that we're dealing with debts or we're dealing with, you know, money issues, we draw in what it is that we need. We got an opportunity right now to prepare ourselves going out of 2023 to do an attitude of gratitude list to show what we're grateful for. And I see we got callers that are still trying to chime in. Come on, next brother that want to come in. Sister, you ready to let another brother in or sister in?
They're all open to speak. I took them all off you. Oh, no, there's a couple more that came on. Hold on. Let me undo. Okay. One.
If you can hear me, this is Pastor Edwards. I want to thank
Brother
Hedges
for inviting
me to come in. And I've been listening, Brother Hedges. God bless you. I've been listening all more. I've been listening since I've got a chance to call in. I just want to add to the topics that are there that what we have to do is what I believe there has to be a consistency that cannot be altered by simply the presence that allows you to see who you are, manifest who you are, regardless of what the circumstances are. If we can do that, then we can lead people into a greater light if we stay in the light and not allow our circumstances to change the light that we're in. The young folk that I do deal with, talk to on a consistent basis, that's what they speak to me about.
Absolutely, man. For those that don't know, this is Pastor Edwards.
This
Pastor Edwards
a new and so now it's like, okay, who are you really? Who are you really? The Bible says, and we're going to use the Bible. The Bible says it burst out this kind. It gives light out this kind. So you have to know the light you're shedding. You got to know the light that you're let in that other folks will see it. And one, if I see you on this street, I need to see you on that same street tomorrow. I can't see you in a different street because of the situation or circumstances. I can't see you differently. You need to remain who you are. I have to remain who I am no matter what my circumstances are. But I know that there are people watching me, and as people watching me, they're watching to see, waiting to see if my mindset, if my tone, if my verbiage is going to change based on what I'm going through. And it can't.
That's real. That's real. You know, man, I want to let the listening audience know, man, for those that don't know, y'all can find Pastor Edwards on Facebook, or you can go to the New Hope Baptist Church page and also be able to find his Wednesday Bible studies, man, that I often go to now. We met on the prayer call line every morning at 6 o'clock Monday through Friday, man. And Pastor Edwards, I just want to know, like, what did you feel like in the Word is actually focusing our attention on an attitude shift? How do we change our attitude from an attitude of a pessimistic person to an attitude of gratitude, an attitude of expectation in what God can do for our life?
Well, first of all, there has to be a definite knowledge. When you sent me the text this morning, when I saw the message this morning, immediately what popped in my head, actually I'm going to preach it real soon, I thought about the three Hebrew boys, and I thought about what they said. They said, be no king, no matter what you do to us, our position is not going to change. It's not going to change. So what I learned over the years, coming from the streets in 92, when I was in the streets back in Cakewood Homes in the late 80s into the early 90s, when I came into the church, I came into church not looking to critique those that were there, but to learn what I can learn to better myself. That's what I mean. What I talk about when you have a positive having a positive attitude. I thought about being positive, having a positive attitude in a negative situation. The circumstances around us are not going to change, but we must change. And then once you change, then you can change the circumstances around you. You're gonna birth first what you believe. You don't believe that, you're not gonna birth anything. And what helped me was. I, I just were able to look beyond the folk. Look beyond the people. And we get mad when folk accept us for who we... Maya Angelou said this. She said, don't get mad at folk when they show you who they are. Get mad when you don't accept what they show you.
I think education means a lot, because one of the things people forget, first of all DNA came from Africa, and the Middle East was one continent before the flood. So all DNA came from that continent until people started spreading out. People look at color, but they don't think about it as pigmentation. When people started migrating from Africa to the Middle East and other countries, they don't realize they were some above the equator, some below the equator. So the pigmentation, of course, is going to change colors. We don't look at things like these things. We look at people as being black and white. They don't look at it as though the pigmentation, if you notice, there's all kinds of black, white, red, beige, yellow. I mean, we have to look at it this way. People don't understand that there were two races that initially started out. And that was the Arabs, the Jews, and that's where all of the other all the other religions and races and cultures came from. People don't understand, so they're very ignorant of their own cultures. And that's why when they have these ancestry.com, a lot of people are finding out that they actually have black in them, or they actually have Indian in them, or other races in them. Because they grew up only learning one thing. They're either black or white, or they're beige, or they're Indians, or whatever the case may be. Pigmentation is the answer, not the color, but the pigmentation of your skin, of course, is going to change the coloring, first of all. This is what people have to be educated on. DNA all came from Africa, so everybody has that African blood in them. They just don't want to admit it. There are people of our own races, people of our own cultures and races that, because they might look white, will pass for white because that's what they want to do. Or they'll acknowledge their race and they'll be proud of it. This is what we're talking about when we talk about positive attitudes. Be positive that we came from that African, that what they call the motherland. We came from that African culture. Strength. Africa is strength.
But even if we embrace that concept, and that's fine. The character is the character. So whether you're black, white, green, or blue, your character is your character. And knowing how to conduct I think I heard somebody said earlier that they have a proportion of self-love that needs to be induced when you love who you are. And if you don't love who you are, then you love those around you. I remember years ago, a man told me that I did not love myself. Why did I love myself? By the things that I was doing to myself, I did not understand that until I got older. And so, if I love, and I think I heard another brother say that treat folks the way you want to be treated. Some of us don't treat ourselves well. That's why we don't treat others no better, because we're already documented about our own concept of our own way of life. Sometimes, that's like I learned to accept, brother, has on to your answer question. I learned years ago to accept, to hold myself accountable for the things I did, for the things I did in life. I learned to hold myself accountable. That way, if I hold myself accountable, I don't have to worry about you checking me, because I've already checked myself.
You know, I don't know if you're all familiar with Tahasa Amana El-Gay.
That's right. That's right. I want to ask everybody, if y'all would, please put your phones on mute if you're not talking right now, because you may not know that your line is open, but it's actually open, and we hear about four or five people's background. And I just want to be able to hear the pastor clearly. And I want to remind everybody that this is the pastor of New Hope Baptist Church. You can check him out on Facebook. And what he just shared, man, it resonates to my heart, because in today's study of my Bible study and this morning, it was talking about how we live a life like Christ. And also for my Muslim brothers and sisters, elders and children, it talk about living a life in the image of Allah through the way of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. You know, the same thing as my Buddhist people, you know what I'm saying? And looking at the teachings and the life of the Dalai Lama, you know, like all around the board, you know what I'm saying? And this is what it said in the Daily Bread today. If you're going to look at how Christ taught,
Christ wasn't looking at and saying, hey, I'm Christ Jesus, so y'all need to listen to me. No, it say when he revealed who he was, it wasn't his titles or his achievements in life. He lists but one thing, and that's the kind of character that he has, the character that he chose to position himself to place out there every day. And so, man, I want to thank you, brother, Mr. Edwards, man, because Pastor Edwards has done a lot, man, in a lot of our lives to cultivate and enrich us through cultivating his own character to be the one that we can all look to as a beacon of light. You know what I'm saying? Because if I look at him and he's still standing in that pulpit on Sunday at New Hope Baptist Church and he's still demonstrating a ministry that every day is cultivating a place that we can go to, you know, it's kind of like Kills. Everybody want to go where everybody knows your name and they always glad you came. You want to be where people see. You know what I'm saying? The same troubles are all the same, but our victory is the same as well. And so this is how we associate ourselves. We get ourselves around new people, new places, new things that are going to cultivate and enrich an attitude of gratitude and then cultivate a demonstration that's an example to everybody that we come around. Peace and blessings, love and service.
And Brother Hess, to add to what you just said, if you look in your Bible, if you look in the book of Acts, they were called believers of the way first. They did not be called, they weren't called Christians until they was in another part of the world. And they only called them that because of their character, the way they carried themselves, the way their lifestyle spoke for them. I have a mother in my church who says this every time she opens my mouth. She said, may the words I do speak for me. I don't want to say anything. I want my actions to tell who I am. I want my actions to promote who I am. I want my actions to tell you what I believe. And so, and I heard another brother say, no matter what your belief is, I always say this to my wife. Pastor, we try to talk angrily when somebody don't believe what we believe. No, I respect whatever you believe. And my assignment ain't to change what you believe. That's not my job. I can't argue you out of your position. That's your position. I can respect you. So I respect you. Whatever you believe in, I respect that. And I don't tie anything to religion. Because religion has been the handicap for centuries. Because we do certain at a certain time, at a certain date, every day of our life, that don't make you believe it. Because you do it every Sunday. That don't make you believe in Christ. Because you go to church every Sunday, that don't make you believe in Christ. That's what that says. Because you bow and you pray to Muhammad, that don't make you believe in Islam. It's your actions outside of those things that tell people who you are.
Exactly. I don't believe in Jesus Christ. I mean, I don't believe that they should be calling Jesus Christ. Jesus is the Christ, but his name is not Jesus Christ. So they gave him a last name of it shouldn't even be existing. It shouldn't be in Jesus Christ. It should be Jesus the Christ. But there's, like you say, everybody believes differently. I want to say I did belong to the Hope Baptist years ago on Cape Cod when they first started the church on the Cape in Hyannis. I did belong to that until I left the country and I traveled and I came back. I haven't been back to the Cape pretty much since then. But New Hope Baptist Church was a very good church when I was going to it on the Cape.
I'll say this to add one last thing. I'm gonna go back into mute. I'll say this. Again, it's barriers. We put barriers in front of people that we make it impossible for them to climb. They did that throughout the people for years. They put barriers. They had you believe in this. If you don't believe this, you can't be that. If you don't go here, you can't do that.
Yeah.
Barriers are what we establish in front of people and don't realize those barriers run them from whatever we're trying to get them to understand. And so at the end of life's journey, I don't get into the debate of what his name is, whether if you believe in Christianity, this is what you believe. No, I have people saying that he never called himself Christ. No, he never did. He didn't have to because he wasn't. An old man told me years ago, he said, son, the day you stand up in the pulpit and say you are the pastor, that's when you stop being it. So I don't walk around reading the hope that I'm the pastor of the church. No, I'm Reverend. And they know who I am. And so, again, I don't have to tell folks who I am when I can show them who I am. I don't have to tell them what I believe when I can show them what I believe. And my showing you If it draws you to me, then we'll converse. But I'm not here to beat anybody with a hammer, knock anybody down, or to drag anybody anywhere. I'm going to love everybody. I'm going to help anybody that would allow me to assist them. And I do it all with no, this is what we should always do. I do it all with no expectation from them.
Amen.
So my message to everybody is to, when you do what you do, know why you do it.
One of the things I think needs to be done, though, is people incarcerated in the United States. We have mass incarceration in the United States, 2.3 million people in prisons and jails in this country. And if we have enough godly people existing in the United States of America right now, we're going to come together and we're going to try to get rid of all this mass incarceration. It's the only country in the world with mass incarceration. The only country in the world that has death penalty, life and life without parole sentencing, unless it's extreme. We have people incarcerated that should be out on the streets, wrongfully convicted, first-time offenders, victims who became offenders. We have people who have repented. We have people, even those that have come out, that forgot about their brothers and sisters inside that are still suffering. We have to come together and try to find a way to free God's lambs amongst the wolves, is what I call them, because we have forgotten in society about these people that deserve a second chance or a third chance. And I say this all the time. God forgave Moses. He forgave King David, and he forgave Saul, the Apostle Paul, all murderers. But he forgave them and used them in a big way. So we need to look at these people in prison who made their mistakes and deserve to be out instead of just throwing them in like cattle. Positive attitude, that's when I'll have a positive attitude. When I start seeing people of God on the outside talking about these things and doing something about it.
I want to thank you, Pastor Edwards, man, for not just talking about it, but being about it, man. I want to tell everybody that the listening audience, man, y'all can meet brother, you know what I'm saying, Pastor Edwards, and the rest of our family, you know, Sister Holland, Sister Lemon, our whole family, Miss Hambrick, you know what I'm saying, on the prayer call line every morning at 6 a.m. If you got your pens and papers like you know you always do with Pops Movement Radio, have your pens and paper ready, I'm going to give y'all the number right now. Just dial in at 6 a.m. or you can dial in at 5:35. We're going to be there. These sisters going to be present. The brothers calling in from everywhere. You know what I'm saying? The number is 425-436-63. If you want the code to get in is 854-1921. Again, the code is 854-1921. And that's the Atlanta prayer call line, man. We definitely welcome everybody in with the request.
Brother, can you repeat that telephone number? You said 425-436, and what was the last four?
Now, the number to call in is 425-436-6366. And the code is 854-921. And I want to thank Mr. Edwards again, our beloved brother, Pastor Edwards, man, of New Hope Baptist Church. Y'all can check it out online, man. Y'all come in on Facebook, man. He do the Wednesday night Bible studies. And definitely you can come in on Sunday morning tomorrow at about 10:30 a.m., and you'll have a live opportunity to be able to see our beloved brother stand in the pulpit and give a ministry that is like none other. God bless y'all, man, and thank y'all, man. We're coming down to the last 15 minutes of the show. If there's anybody else that would like to chime in, please come on in and just be accurate, brief, and concise, because we are getting off of here in the next 10 to 15 minutes, and we want to be respectful of our host, Mrs. Brando's time and her willingness to be able to give us this platform to be able to utilize in preparation for 2024. So I love y'all so much. If you would like to come in, come on in now and let this attitude of gratitude shine on everybody. Peace and blessings.
Peace and blessings. Islam, can you hear me okay?
Man, we need to come in and tell everybody your name, where you're calling from, a little bit about yourself and what's going on with your attitude today and how did it shift to this positive attitude.
So I give honors. I come today way of, and this is an indigenous land acknowledgement, so if it sounds foreign, it's just not really foreign. It's pretty where we're at. So I'm from Los Angeles, California. I'm here in Seattle, Washington right now, and I give honors to the ancestors that lived here and cultivated here, took this land, times memorial. We realize that there's been a colonization, both of the hearts and minds of the peoples, a colonization that we're still trying to get ourselves out from under. Islam. I have a very high amount of gratitude for what you're doing, Brother Harris. And I've been an admirer for quite some time. I know that when we first connected, you were looking at doing some things as far as constructing an education program, a new type of program that would help inculcate personal development training into an alternative to incarceration program that we have here. That's the work that must be done. That's the work that must continue with our mission here. So I've done work. You know, I'm the National Director for Critical Reintegration, Transformative Justice with Faith for Kids. There's some ties there. I know a few of our members have kind of cross-pollinated a bit with the POP movement. I also, rotate with the Hood Hope movement and brothers going out there. I'm just very grateful to have this conversation where people can weigh in and they can imagine ways that they can activate their attitudes in a way that we can make 2024 with the promise of success. Foremost on my mind, obviously, is that none of us are free until all of us are free. And part of what I aim to do is to put the verb back into these adjectives and nouns we're using. And when we talk about community, that's an action word. When we talk about liberation, that's an action word. When we talk about respect, honor, dignity, when we talk about unity, these are action words. I have respect for people who have fought in political forums to try to see changes at a policy level, but I feel like freedom is truly freedom. Somebody brought up Fred Hampton in that movement. The freedom to be truly freedom has to be the point where we're willing to risk ourselves to paint it in the fuller measure. I think that there's a spirit of fear settling on the community. I think that a lot of the reason why we haven't seen what the sister just spoke about as far as churches coming together and demanding liberation for people who are captive behind these so-called prisons and places of whatever they want to think it is. A large reason why there hasn't been a movement like that is stuck their heads inside the sand and believe that they can only pray and that in is not an action word in their mindset. It's settled in. A spirit of defeat. You know, the colonized mindset has allowed us to disassociate ourselves from the true objectives of our prayer. We're not just praying for, a good meal in front of us today. Yeah, that's a goal. But what we're really saying at the bottom of our prayers is we're saying that we want to see God, we want to see Allah moving away in our lives that allows things to settle in. We want to see our broken families healed. We want to see our streets healed. We want to see people come together in a way that's meaningful and lasting. We want to see order that is representative of the good things in life that we wish for ourselves and our kids. And all of those things are opposed by the state of affairs as we see them. When we see people rushing off to wars, when we see people rushing off to incarcerate their brothers and sisters and their children and their parents, when we see people willing to stand in courtrooms and cry because their loved ones are lost or cheer when they feel like they've gotten revenge, when we see people who are willing to go out in front of the cameras and talk big words about how they love justice and peace, but there's no movement, no action behind their words towards opening these gates up. Those are the things that become regret. Those things back off. and we have to hide from that, because if we don't hide from that, then we start to think that our prayers aren't effective, and we start to lose faith inside of the God that we follow. In that, we have a choice, either to act or to change the meaning of our prayers, to talk it away. Right now, we're out here, and we've been working with a lot of the Afro-Latino communities from Venezuela who's migrated here, and they are stuck in, you know, deplorable conditions all across the city. The course, that already has a homegrown homeless population. Working with youth, I work with a lot of youth without housing, families struggling with addiction, street tribalism, you know, the effects of incarceration, meaning coming out without any meaningful wealth or housing options. A lot of times, no family left alive. So we struggle with these things already, and on top of that, we have this influx of migrants who've come in and been dropped into the same situation. So we're watching children, you know, crawled on by rats at night. We're watching the community that is the same thing that they've done to our incarcerated, which is to speak words of kindness and grace and peace and love and care, but do nothing. Nothing to change the condition. And so part of the attitude is,
I don't know who is, I can't mute everybody right now, but I don't know who is making all the noise in the background, but please let the brother speak in peace.
Yes, ma'am. If you can, Sister Queen, please go ahead and close all the mics outside of hour three, because this is going to be the last speaker. I want to thank everybody that called in and chimed in today. We will be back next Saturday if you would like to chime in, because we want to speak about how our first week of 2024 is beginning to actually change the attitude that we're choosing to have each day. But I just want to go ahead and close the mics out, because we're going to close out after this right here. But brother Reese, man, this is my brother, for those that don't know. But we got the same mother and the same motherland. This is a Moorish Science of Temple of America brother who come up under the teachings of Noble Drew Ali and those that definitely set the stage for so much knowledge to be shared. And man, the first time I heard Brother Reese Graham speaking on a telecast meeting, when he gave his inspirational testimony and how he changed his attitude and how he cultivated the attitude of a servant for the people. And, you know, he reminded me of Noble Drew Ali's teachings, where Noble Drew Ali talked and said that, hey, man, the biggest thing is study thyself. If you want to understand what your calling is in life, if you want to know what you need to be doing in life, if you want to understand the science of the world, study thyself, because inside of you is the answer. And they say the people went out and they did this for 2, 3, 4 years, and they came back. Oh, noble one, what shall we go study now? What would you have us to now put on our plate to understand process in the sciences? He said, again, I tell you, go study thyself. You understand? And it's in studying thyself that we find that we were already built with the ingredients inside of us, that if we just take on the proper attitude, we will cultivate within us exactly what makes our life meaningful and purposeful every single day. Sister Betty Holland out of Atlanta, Georgia said, once you find something that you love to do, you'll never have to work another day again in your life. And so, man, I want to get a mic back over to our beloved brother, man, so he can close us out with the science. Peace and blessings, man.
Okay.
Islam, brother.
What is the first three numbers? I just muted everybody, and now I think I muted him, and I don't know what the first three numbers were. Hold on a second.
He's calling out of Seattle.
Yes. Can you hear me?
I can hear
yes,
you
so
now.
Yes, so you loud and clear.
Oh, all right. Islam. And thank you for that,
Islam.
Brother. That's all love. And the spirit of love, true peace, freedom, and justice is a spirit that's being cultivated here when we are coming together inside of a self-designed grand body to deliberate on the things that... Hear me all right? Muted?
Unmuted.
Okay.
Islam, brother, we hear you loud and clear.
All right. In the spirit of a self-created deliberative body, where we're sitting here and talking about the politics and the spirit of the way that we move through life as the years change, and how this past year has informed our attitudes as we prepare for our next stages. When we look back, I think that one of the significant things for me, at least, is having this meeting right now. You know, we see that the seasons have changed. We see the years coming, and it's a time for us to start preparing our minds. I mean, there's always goals and plans in advance, but this is a time where they become serious, and we start saying, what do we want for ourselves in the year 2024? And just like the prophet did say, that if we've been studying ourselves, then we want to continue to study ourselves. And as we study ourselves, it will reveal things to us that will help us and aid us and guide us to our next steps. So what I'm seeing here, brother, is that we have opportunities to be active, to take actions. And so I've done those things in this past year, meaning I've sat in and I've helped block construction of new youth prison facilities out here where they had to divert it. I've talked to construction workers and had them not mind not getting anything done because they were still getting paid. So on a human level, connecting with them, I was able to do what mass protests and policy making and all that wasn't able to do. And they literally stopped working on constructing the juvenile detention that still hasn't been constructed. Working with these camps of Afro-Latinos who come in the hundreds here has given us an opportunity to unify our voices in a way that hasn't been happening out here. So now we've got brothers and sisters from different colors coming together, working with the Latino Civic Alliance, creating a path forward for the integration of these peoples into our communities and for greater work together as a community in general affairs that have to do with the liberation of both of our brothers and sisters who are incarcerated, but also to those who are struggling on the streets with street tribalism, with drug addiction, and also with homelessness. And so with that, I would like to thank you. There's much love and blessings coming to you for the work that you are watering all of our soils with. And I want to encourage you to continue this and also to continue inspiring us to the point where our inaction becomes more annoying than the distress of facing something that we fear. And so with that, I leave as I came in love and peace, and I pass the mic back to you, brother. So in respect to your times, you can close out. Islam.
Brother Hess, can I just real quickly recommend something? There are students in the tech vocational schools in the high school. There are law students in the universities. If you can get in contact with them, a lot of these people they want the experience or they want to do their internships. And years ago, I had New Vision Organization. I started in 2004. I stepped down in 2014. Jordan Rosenberg from California, they ended up taking over, and they terminated my organization, and they registered it out in California under a new tax exempt. But my organization never requested funding. What we did, we registered the organization with the universities, law students, with the vocational schools, and these students did it voluntarily to get their experience. They wanted to do it. They wanted to do their internships. A lot of them, carpenters, masons, auto mechanic. A lot of these students in the schools that are under vocational, they want that experience. So I'm just recommending that maybe you contact them, because you give them an opportunity while they can help you in the work that you're doing in the communities. That's just my own recommendation. But I would take advantage of it. And also volunteermatch.com, those are other organizations to recruit people and to try to bring them into helping you in the work you're doing, because that's awesome work. And Brother Hess, I'm going to turn it back over to you. I'm sorry to take up all this time.
No problem at all, Sister Queen. We thank you so much for shedding light on all of us. We thank you so much for allowing us to be able to have this platform today to be able to give God the glory. We want to thank our higher power, choose to call Christ Jesus, as well as all of our affiliate religions, all of our affiliate races, because we are all one family, one community, one culture, one people, one body, one mind. I thank everybody. I want to thank my old lady, Christina Chavez, man, for standing by me, you know what I'm saying, through years and years in the pen, and standing by me in times when it wasn't good, when it was good, you know what I'm saying, and cultivating within herself a mind state that shifted her attitude and went from working at a low-paying job to owning her own company. Man, I want to thank our children that have shown a cultivating spirit, you know what I'm saying, to be willing to look, listen, and learn, to understand. And even when they make mistakes, you know what I'm saying, they still come back to the table. And so I want to, most of all, outside of the Most High, I want to thank the listening audience that didn't get a chance to come in today, because you are the most important person here, because there was something said that will lead to the next show that will give an opportunity. So when you get ready to speak, man, that's when you're going to spread exactly what it is that has been cultivated in your heart as a shift of your attitude. I want to thank the elders that brought the whole element of attitude change, Pastor Norman Vincent Peel, Brother Napoleon Hill, Mr. Allen, James Allen, you know, everybody that has been doing this over the years. I want to thank the motivational speakers that I listen to every morning, the Brother Les Brown, Zig Ziglar, God rest his soul, you know what I mean, all of those who have been inspiring us to understand what our attitude is. The biggest one I want to say a shout-out to, and I don't know if he's still alive or not, is Mr. Charles Swindle. You can look him up online. Just Google his name, Charles Swindle, and he has a saying about attitude. Attitude is 10% of what happens and 90% how we respond to it. If we respond the correct way, we will find that attitude is more important than money. It's more important than our church homes. It's more important than our family. It's more important than everything around us, because that is inside of us. And how we see ourselves and the things around us, that is the very essence of what attitude is. So, again, I want to thank everybody. I want to thank Sister Veronica calling in out of Chicago and speaking. Brother Dominic out of Mississippi, by way of Tennessee. Man, I want to thank Brother Charles Brown out of Cordell, Georgia, by way of Atlanta. Brother Ricardo out of Tennessee. Our Brother Wally, a.k.a. Weak Squaw, OG Weak Squaw out of Columbus, Georgia. Quez out of Noonan, Georgia. Yeah, and I want to thank Brother Mike X Hinton, man, out of New York. Brother Pastor Edwards out of Atlanta's New Hope Baptist Church, as well as our beloved brother Reese Graham out of Los Angeles, California, by way of Seattle, man. Islam to the brother, man. I thank y'all so much. And again, Sister Queen, Ms. Brando, man, we just love you so much. We thank you and we honor you for being able to commit yourself to such a platform bringing, man. Shedding light, man, is with us, man, now and forevermore. I love y'all so much, man, and Happy New Year's to the family. La Familia style, it's only fair.
Next Saturday, same time, Brother Tess will be back with us to continue with his discussion on positive attitudes, valuing optimistic attitudes, and simply as power of attitudes can be in the lives of mankind. Thank you so much, Brother, for taking over this show with this, because this is very important to all of us as well. We are now going to end this audience. We are now going to end this episode. Join us next Saturday, same time, 12 o'clock Eastern time, to hear from Brother Tess and anyone else that wants to call in, ask questions, whatever the case may be. Everyone have a happy new year, 2024. I hope it's a blessed one. I hope it brings in more blessings than this past year, and that we can actually do something positive with the positive attitude that the brother has taught us. Thank you so much, and all praises to God, to Allah, and to everyone else that is a believer in the Most High. Thank you so much. We are now ending this episode.
Love and faith.